presentation here because it was really cheap. I work on GStreamer, as you all know, or are supposed to know if you're coming here. Well, I'll just get started. That's the easiest. I actually really enjoyed Gunther's presentation because Xine was, or Xine, or Xine, was like the first really usable media player on Linux. It was the first time I actually was able to play DVDs. And a lot of the concepts are very similar. So a lot of what Gunther has told you just now is applicable to GStreamer as well. So that's good for me because it means I can concentrate on other things, and by sheer luck I actually prepared a presentation that concentrates on totally different things. So I'm going to give you a short introduction. I'm going to discuss some of the things other people think about GStreamer, things that are true, things that aren't true. I'm going to tell you what we currently can do and what's not possible yet, give you some examples of applications that have been written, and then I'm going to give an explanation of how you can do some things yourself. So first of all, what is GStreamer? GStreamer is actually currently two basic things. We have a very small core, which is just responsible for putting together filter graphs. Filter graphs are, I'll show you later, it's a way of connecting elements and plugins together. We have a pluggable architecture, just like Xine or Xine. And the core doesn't really know anything about the kind of data it processes. So it doesn't really know it's doing audio or video or whatever. Actually, you don't really need to do multimedia with GStreamer. There is someone who uses it for data acquisition, for controlling water pipelines and stuff like that. And then the second part are the plugins. They actually do whatever it is that you need to do to watch your video. So we have audio plugins, filters, codecs, analysis, visuals like Goom or Synesthesia. We have video elements, reading files and things like that. And then we have input and output plugins. So they read from a device, from a video for Linux device, a webcam, or they output to your sound server or display server. So that's quickly to wrap up GStreamer in a nutshell. Is there anyone who hasn't ever heard about GStreamer? If you haven't, raise your hand so that I have a... Okay, good. Because GStreamer is actually relatively new compared to some other projects, so it's important for me to know what audience I'm talking to. So, essentially, GStreamer is a library. That's the main thing you need to remember. It is not a player. You can write a player with it, but it's first of all meant as a multimedia library. It's comparable in all aspects to GTK. We have a few demo applications. We have a player that shows some of the functionality, just like GTK demo does for GTK. We have an editor, which I'll probably show you later on. It's kind of the same thing as Glade. In Glade, you design an interface using a user interface, and in the editor you do the same for GStreamer. We also have plugins, a lot of them, and we have documentation. So I didn't start GStreamer. GStreamer was started by someone from America, Eric. He started it as a thesis project like 3 years ago, I think. And at that time, it has changed a lot, of course, but at that time Linux had really bad media handling. What still happens is that there are many hacked libraries which are really hard to compile or use different structures to do things. If you ever manage to compile AV file or try to compile AV file, for example, or if you try to compile an application like Broadcast 2000 yourself, you probably know what I'm talking about. They fork each other's code all of the time. They don't really integrate really well. There's a lot of problems in that area. And all of the other operating systems have such a framework. You have DirectShow, QuickTime, BMedia, things like that. So one of the reasons that GStreamer got started was just to make simple and complex multimedia applications possible on Linux. And we're slowly achieving that goal. What is it not? And this is important because we get a lot of questions about this. We are not a sound server. There are a lot of sound servers already out there. If you're going to write another one, please compare it against all the ones that already exist. We could actually provide the infrastructure to let you write a sound server, but we're not going to do it ourselves probably. As Gunther already told you, there's a new one on the block, the media application server. It looks like a very good contender for actually being a sound server that we are all going to use 1 year from now. But it's too soon to tell. In any case, we're not doing it ourselves. It's also not only for GNOME. We intend to be used in KDE as well. As you know, it's not that easy because KDE prefers C++ code. But in the end, it will depend on who writes the code. And there are there is one very good developer in KDE who's already using GStreamer and has ported it to Qt and stuff like that. We're not 100% API stable, so some of the interface might change. But the interface that is that has been developed for the last 2 years is stable. So we will mark certain parts of the code that we are still going to change later on. But the things you want to use right now are already stable. That's one of the requirements for going into GNOME 2, which we recently did. And of course, it's not perfect. I mean, every library has different targets, different IDs of how to do things. This is some of the things that have been said about GStreamer in the past. GStreamer is too big. That's actually not really true. The core itself is a very small piece of code. We only depend on things that are very normal, like glibc. We depend on glib too for the simple reason that it's stupid to reinvent the wheel. I mean, all of the functions that are in glib are getting used by us, so why would we write it ourselves? Popt, which is a library for processing command line options, so you could easily compile that out if you really want to. And libxml2, which also can be compiled out. If you compile it, the whole library is like 300 kilobytes on your hard disk if you strip it, so that's not a lot. For example, I've run GStreamer on a little web terminal. I think we brought it today. I'll tell you about it later, but a friend of mine has set up a booth for one project I do, and these web terminals are standing there. They have like a 16 megabyte hard disk, and GStreamer runs on it perfectly inside XWindow, so it's perfectly suited for embedded work. In fact, that's what it was originally intended for. We also get a lot of complaints about the dependencies. It's true that you can use about 40 libraries in GStreamer if you want to, but you can make some match. You don't have to use them all. None of those libraries are required. You only take those that you actually need for your own application or for your own needs. The problem is that, of course, sometimes the build breaks because some library, one of the 40, has decided to change the API. For example, Avifile does that a lot. But it's very easy to disable plugins that don't build. So when GStreamer doesn't build, it's probably something like that, and all you have to do is add another configure option and recompile, and it will just get along with the others. And sometimes it's completely impossible to protect users against themselves. I mean, if you go about compiling everything by hand, optimizing everything, and then something breaks, it's not always easy for us to tell you what's going wrong on your system. So if you start installing libraries in user, and then you try again, and you do it in user local, and then it still doesn't work, you do it somewhere else, and you have like four versions of the same library on your system, you're going to run into trouble. So keep your system clean. Too many plugins, yeah, that's true. There are a lot, but we need even more. I have 121 on my laptop, and in fact, we have a competition inside of GStreamer to get the highest number. Sometimes we cheat by changing the definition of feature, but in general, it's a race to have the biggest number. So if you want to join in, please do. And you actually don't need them all, that's important too. And I think we have pretty good packaging. We've improved a lot in that. There are devs available now. We've been doing RPMs for quite a long time. So it shouldn't be a problem to get all of those running. I'm going to skip latency because it's not really that important for now. Not enough applications. That's true, actually. We've only started being useful for applications. There are a few applications that are being developed right now. Rhythmbox is an iTunes clone, which has been in development for almost a year now. We have a media player, which is our demo application, which has recently been taken up again by Julien, who's sitting here. I'm going to try and show it, if it works. I made my font a lot bigger so you all could see what I was doing. Okay, that's a really huge one. I can't give you the audio because I don't have it. Oh, okay. They gave me a cable, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. This is, I'm pretty sick of seeing this clip actually, because it's our main testing clip. So, but actually the funny thing is, it's been developed at Pixar Studios. Victor Navone works there, Pixar from Shrek and other movies. And we actually got a mail one day. They were using GStreamer there, and one of the guys was saying, I sit in the office next to Victor every day, so it's really funny each time when we watch the clip. So yeah, GStreamer is being used in corporations as well. Now, one of the things I wanted to show you is that, as I said, GStreamer uses plugins, and you can replace plugins to get different functionality. This is GConf Editor, which is a preferences editor in GNOME. And this is actually how video is output using the player or any other application. Color space is just an element to convert between color spaces, which is a technicality that's not really important now. But it also means I can plug in different effects there if I would want to. So for example, I'm going to try this. Hang on. There's a crazy Japanese guy who programs video effects, and he has like 40 of them on his site. And one of them is this. Hope it works. Again, the warning. So, if I change this configuration setting, every video I ever play with GStreamer in GNOME will have this really cool aging look. I don't know why we don't have a stop button. Everyone should have a stop button, I think, but that's an internal discussion. So that's basically a good idea, a good example of the technology we use. You can change your pipelines by just changing one thing and then having a lot of cool effects being inserted into the pipeline, just like in like Gunter said back then. I'm going to see if I can start my talk again because I haven't figured out how to actually do something from outside of OpenOffice. We were about here. Okay, so that was the player. The editor I'll show later. We also have the start of a nonlinear video editing library. We have a very good developer also from Belgium, Wim, who's a maniac when it comes to code. During the day he works in a bank, he writes Java programs, I don't know why. And he's incredibly smart, so he's actually coding on GStreamer because he wants to code his nonlinear video editing library. And that's a really long-term project, but he's making a lot of progress. And what we also have is a lot of small applications, which I'll talk about later on. Because I work at a radio station, for the people from Belgium, I work at 4FM, I'm a broadcasting engineer there. And I've written a few applications there as well, I'm going to talk about them later. But if you want to help us out, please join us. Just talk to us later on or something. Okay. The important things. What is happening in the core? The first thing is a scheduler, just like in the kernel. That's an element that decides which of the plugins is going to run next. Elements themselves are the basis of functionality. They have pads. You can link the pads together. I'll show you that later on in a graphic. I'm going to talk about all these other things as well, one by one. The scheduler is actually the one thing that makes data flow. So it takes a buffer from an input system, then processes it through another plugin, and then shows it on the screen or plays the audio. It's very interesting stuff. I don't understand anything about it. It's probably just like kernel hacking, which is totally not my thing. There are a lot of interesting theories about it. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, we could really use your help. Okay, this is the basis of all functionality in GStreamer. It's pretty simple, actually. This is an element, and it can decode Vortis audio. The element has pads. You see the sync and the source pads. You use the pads to link elements together. The letters down there just indicate the state, null, ready, pause, or plain. It's not really important for the element itself, but it's used in GStreamer. So to decode Vortis audio, you get a buffer on the sync pad because it goes into the sync. Then it gets processed and decoded, and then it goes back out on the source pad. So that's basically one element. Then you have a pipeline. You connect all of these together. For example, GNOME VFS source is an element that's able to read from a lot of different locations. And OSS sync is an audio output plugin. This pipeline is managed by a bin, that's not really important. Elements are linked by their pads. I have a very good demo of it, of how it works actually, which is very simple. Okay, so let's pretend that this is the sync element, for example, audio output. Let's see. This is some sort of buffer. This is a decoder, Vortis decoder. Am I doing this right? No. You should always, when you do a presentation, you should make sure that at least one of your demos works as you. So if you choose one without electricity, you're basically safe. So this is the source element. It reads data from a disk, for example. This is your decoder. This is a buffer. I don't know if you can see it from way in the back, but that's how it works. That's a data buffer being processed by the whole system. So that's sort of
a high latency.
It might be funny, but that's sort of the visual aid you need to keep in mind when you're actually talking about GStreamer or thinking about GStreamer, because it gets really complicated really fast. I could make a lot more interesting pipelines than that, but I left all the rest at home, so. Okay, that's not that important, but what you can do is make another abstraction of your functionality. If you group a lot of elements together in one bin that provide one sort of functionality, you can actually make a new, bigger element, just like object-oriented programming, that does a lot of other things. And you can actually, for example, the source pad you see there can actually become the source pad of the whole bin, and nobody has to know what is inside. That's actually how the nonlinear library is being coded. It uses a lot of pipelines like this without telling what's inside. Okay, what's also important is that each pad has some sort of data type assigned to it. For example, a pad can process audio or video data, audio MP3 or raw audio, and that's decided by the data type. I'm not going to go into the technical details because it's not that important, but you probably realize that you can only connect an audio source element, source pad, to an audio sync pad. For example, you cannot play audio to your video screen without having a plugin between them that converts between the two. Okay, and then the really interesting things, and the really interesting thing is actually when you want to automatically figure out how to decode something and play it. And that's actually just mathematical theory. It's a way of finding the shortest path between two pads that aren't compatible. So, for example, if your pad just reads from disk and your video output takes video, then you have some way of figuring out how you can connect it to by taking the least amount of elements that you need to make the connection. This is really interesting stuff. The problem is that it's really hard to get right. It's probably the biggest problem in GStreamer right now, because this is really sometimes it figures out a path that's totally wrong and has a lot of loops. It's something we're fixing right now. So this is really interesting theory as well. If you want to help us out, we really could use your help in this area as well. It's not that complicated in theory, but in practice it's really hard to code right. Okay, events is also something you need for multimedia. It means that you can send quality of service information, seeking information between the plugins. So the plugins actually talk to each other by sending short messages to each other. I'll give an example of that later on. What's very important as well is how you synchronize audio and video together. The system is actually pretty simple. Each scheduler has a clock assigned to it. The clock is just an object. You can connect the clock to a real clock. For example, your audio card is a good source of clock. And all of the buffers have a time assigned to them. So if you decode audio and video together, both the audio and the video buffers are getting timestamps. And the audio playback system doesn't have to know about the video playback system to synchronize. They just look at the same clock, both of them. And the clock is actually provided by the sound card, for example, or you could write a plugin that provides a clock from an external clock source. That's something you need in professional audio applications. So the clock is really an abstraction. So for example, if you would put a clock in the scheduler and set the time twice as fast, you would actually get twice as fast playback, things like that. Okay, that's the most important part of this bit. We have a lot of helper libraries, libraries for dynamic parameters, libraries to actually manage a byte stream. We have a library for gconf, so storing your settings for the GNOME desktop. All of these things are not that important right now. Plugins, lots of plugins, of course. As you know, not all formats work really well. For example, QuickTime still only works through very ugly hacks using dynamic loading of other objects. There has been some improvement now, and we hope to use that later on. We've just started using FFmpeg, for example, which is a lot better than AVFile. We have more than enough plugins at this moment. We should really focus on doing some more in the core. Okay, if you put all of these concepts together, I can give you a short explanation of how seeking works, for example. You have a very simple pipeline. That's GStreamer notation. The exclamation marks are like just pipe symbols. So we read from disk, we decode MPEG-2 video, and we give output to the X server. How do we do seeking? Well, actually, we ask for a seek on one of the paths of the MPEG decoder. What happens then is that, for example, you ask, give me the video frame at the first minute. The decoder doesn't really know about time, so what it has to do is recalculate where the byte offset is for that time offset, and maybe even cache that in some sort of time index. And when he converts that, he actually sends a discontinuous event, which means I'm going to change my location, so clear your screen first or something. And that's basically how seeking works. It's taken a really long time to make it as simple as this. Yeah, okay. I hope that was a clear example, because that's basically all there is to it. Okay, documentation, yeah. We have pretty good API docs. That's kind of a requirement for GNOME as well. We have bindings, Python bindings that work really well. We have, I'm saying GST Sharp here, but they're supposed to be called .NET bindings. They actually have a player that works as well. I've never used it myself. I have not installed Mono yet. And we're having Qt bindings as well. There's now a Qt jukebox that looks a lot like Rhythmbox being developed, and it's using GStreamer. Okay. That's all of GStreamer in short. This is some of the new stuff, because most of this is based on an older presentation I did half a year ago. These are the things that actually happened in the last 6 months. Media info is a library to read IDE 3 tags, but also other tags, flag tags, Vorbis tags, and so on. We went into GNOME 2, 2.2. We're really happy about that, because it's really important for us to be widely used. I can give you some small examples of what we did there. Hang on. Okay, so this is Nautilus, the file browser, as you all know. One of the simple things we did is just add a property page that tells you some stuff about the file. This uses the media info library. It's really easy to use the way it is now. So that just gives you properties. We also, that's also something I did. This is in the file manager, a different view. You can make different views in Nautilus. It's not that complicated when you know how to do it. And you can just go through your files and play them one by one. It's not really a music player. It's more meant to make it really easy to scan through your files. I work at a radio station, so I have a lot of sound effects, and it's really easy to go through all of them and find the right one this way. Okay, we also implemented thumbnailing. So I'm first going to set it up to run, right? Sorry. I first delete all my thumbnails, so you actually may have a chance of seeing it work. So now they're gone. Now I just need to tell Nautilus that all of my files have changed. And it's going to take some time, so meanwhile, I'm going to say some other things. So it's showing a clock now. It takes a lot of time simply because it's going through all the files and trying them one by one. Thumbnailing is... oh, there's the first one. It's been a new addition to the file selector, to Nautilus lately. Some of them are still going, but as you see, they're being done one by one. So that's a really cool feature we added to GNOME now. At least I think it's a cool feature. Okay, back to the talk. So, other than that, we also, the guy who maintains GNOME Media and writes a sound recorder has also switched to GStreamer. His main reason for doing that is because using GStreamer actually allows him to save to any format that GStreamer supports. So you can record straight to MP3 or AUG or FLAC or WAV or whatever. And that was the coolest feature for him to actually use. We actually have a very working player library right now, because Julien did a lot of work on it. We made a new scheduler because we got a lot of problems with crashes in threads, and we're not really figuring out where they're coming from. We're not sure if it's our fault or Glipsy's fault. So we just wrote another scheduler because it's also a plugin. You can use another scheduler and just avoid threads completely. And one of the things that also happened is we have a very good PR guy, Christian.